Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Calvin R. Kendrick, pastor of Victory Baptist Church in the Bronx. This next message that you are about to hear is a message that was done in 1989 at the Concord Baptist Church of Christ, where the Reverend Dr. Gardner C. Taylor served as pastor for over 40 years. I had the privilege, by the grace of God, to serve with him from 1987 to 1990. And it was a tremendous joy to see such a man of God at work. I hope that this will be a blessing to you. This message was done on August the 20th, Stephanie and I's first anniversary. And I am grateful to all the things that the Lord had blessed me to do at the Concord Baptist Church early in the ministry where God had called me. I'd like for you to know that you may get in touch with us to get more messages at 718-328-4041. May God bless you, and hopefully you will visit the Victory Baptist Church in the Bronx. God bless you.
And the opportunity has come. At this time, let us look into the scripture, Nehemiah chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 3. And the word says, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while as I leave it and come down to you?" I want to speak on the subject, a call to build. A call to build. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you will bless us here now. Bless us to do your will. Bless your word, Lord. Bless the people to hear it, and bless the results, Father. We pray that if there's anyone here who have not accepted Jesus as their Savior, may these words and the songs that have been sung and all of what has been done, may it bring people to the Lord. We pray that you be glorified in me and through me, Lord, and through your people. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. Nehemiah was a lay person who was very important to the king of Persia, even though he was a Jew. Even though he was Jewish and a Hebrew person, he was at this time when the walls were broken down and the gates were burnt. He was in Persia. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And a cupbearer is one who will taste the wine for the king to see if it's poison. Which meant that Nehemiah would have to go to every person who would get the wine. Because if he didn't want to be poisoned, he had to make sure that that wine was okay. So he was the man before the king. He held a high position. That was a high position, to be a cupbearer. Because if that wine was poisoned, the one that would die would be Nehemiah. And so he held a high position. We find in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 6 that he was able to stand before the king and the queen. And when you are able to stand before the king and the queen, you are somebody. And so Nehemiah was a very important person. And his leadership was just as important to them as it was to Israel. And so when one reads the book of Nehemiah, one must realize and be mindful that Nehemiah was a very courageous and resourceful leader. He had two great concerns. One was to have the people to know the real law of Yahweh, and the other was he had a great determination to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Therefore, the message of this book is a trumpet call to rebuild the walls of Zion, which has been broken down. The work that Nehemiah was doing was a very dangerous yet rewarding work. It was dangerous because he and his men were prepared to defend themselves against an attack from their enemies as they worked rebuilding the walls. However, being that Nehemiah was a builder and a very good administrator, he was able to set an example in such a way that others found a need to follow him. It was rewarding because the walls were rebuilt and it brought great results and blessings to the people. We too are called to rise up and build to the glory of God. Now, we may not have been called to build walls per se as Nehemiah did, yet we do have a call to build. We have a call to build a worshiping community to the glory of God. One of the reasons why our community and communities are so messed up is because they do not worship God. You and I know what it was like when we lived in darkness before God brought us to his marvelous light. You and I know how great God's goodness is. And so therefore, we need a worshiping community, a community that will worship God in spirit and in truth. We are also called to build a wise community, a community that will fight for academic excellence, a community that will fight for the power of economic wisdom. It's a shame when we see some of our young people pick up these 5 cent bottles and throw them around and bust them instead of bringing them back to the store and getting that 5 cents. 3 bottles is 15 cents and 5 bottles is 25 cents. And yet they don't realize that. The only thing that a lot of people realize is young people are buying $50, $60, and $70 sneakers with no job. We need to build a community, a wise community. And then we need to build a political-minded community, a community that will be mindful of our politicians, and a community that will challenge our politicians to bring justice to our community. As a part of that justice, we need housing, good, decent housing. We are also called to build bridges. Bridges of love, bridges of joy, bridges of peace, bridges of understanding, of power, of hope. We are called to build so that people may see that we are here. They cannot cross the troubled waters without a bridge. We must be their bridge. We are called to rise up, build, and finish the great work that God Almighty has called us to do until we meet the Lord face to face in that heavenly place. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3 gives us a lift. It gives us power to go on. Nehemiah built that great wall. The first question I'll raise is, what did the work, the great work of the rebuilding of the wall mean? It meant, number one, protection. They built the wall to protect themselves, to protect themselves from their enemies, to secure the city. The wall was built so that they could not just be taken. And so when the walls were broken down, they didn't have anywhere to really worship. They didn't have any protection, and they were scattered. Nehemiah went back to rebuild that wall, and that wall was rebuilt. The rebuilding of the wall not only meant protection, but it also meant separation. The separation was the religious from the non-religious. If you were outside on the other side of the wall, and whatever you did out there, that's what you did. But when you came on the other side of that wall, you had to change your attitude. Your attitude had to be changed. You could not bring what was out there inside the building on the other side of that wall. Something had to change. You were coming in the presence of God. And so it was a changed attitude. We have that situation here today where a lot of people would be outside the church and doing this and doing that and coming inside the church, and there's a change in attitude. There was also a change in lifestyle, how things were to be. A change in lifestyle politically, socially, however they handled themselves. Because when they came on the other side of that wall, their lifestyles had to change. And so there had to be a different attitude, a different lifestyle. However, in the New Testament perspective, there shouldn't be a separation. There shouldn't be any walls that will make us live right. The New Testament perspective gives us a personal relationship with Jesus. What does the great work of the church mean today? It means salvation. The great work of the church means salvation. God has saved us from a multitude of sins, and He has given us eternal life. When Jesus Christ came on this earth, and He walked this earth and talked the gospel and lived the gospel, what He was doing, He was reconciling man back to God. And so therefore, we have come back to God by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, Jesus has done a wonderful work. And when we receive Jesus, we also receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He comes in and He dwells with us. And He makes sure that we are doing God's will, or else we will feel conviction. The Holy Spirit comes in and He gives us power to live right, power to talk right, power to act right, power to be right, power. He gives us power. And therefore, when we say salvation, we must say that God has given us not so much of a change attitude, but a new attitude. And so therefore, there shouldn't be any difference of how we live out there than how we live in here. It should be consistent. It shouldn't be two different lifestyles of living out there and living in here. It should always be living for God. Everywhere we go, we ought to be living right for Jesus. Everywhere we go, we ought to be living right for Him. And so therefore, Jesus does not give us so much of a change in attitude. Yes, we are changed, but He gives us a new attitude. And then He gives us a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle. A lifestyle that will glorify God. A lifestyle that will make you love your brother and your sister. A lifestyle that will make you love your enemies. A lifestyle that will make you love. A new lifestyle. If there's any man in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are become of God. The new lifestyle will cause us to raise a question. And that question that you will ask yourself, and I will ask myself, is why should I allow God's work to stop in my life? Why should I allow God's work to cease? Being that this is the very God who has been so good to me, why should I forget God? Why should I come down? Why should I leave the work and come down to you? Why should I leave God? What can cause me to leave His love, His power, His understanding? Why should I allow God's work to stop in my life? Being that He has woke me up this morning and started me on my way, put food table and clothes on my back, put me in the right knot. Why? He picked me up, turned me around, and set my feet on holy ground. Why should I allow the work of God to cease in my life? Why? When He has been so good to me. When He has been so good to you. Oh, hallelujah. He has been good, I tell you. He has been good. He put shoes on our feet and clothes on our backs. He walks with us. He talks with us. He protects us. He prays with us. He prays for us. Why should I allow the work of God to cease in my life? Why should I compromise His will? God is so good to us. He's our doctor when we are sick. He's our lawyer when we are in trouble. He's our deliverer when we are trapped. He's our friend when we are lonely. And He's our victory when we feel defeated. How can we allow God's work to cease in our lives? Nehemiah said, I cannot come down. I can't come down. But Nehemiah was telling them, I am too busy to come down. I'm doing my Lord's work. I can't come down. We too cannot come down. Oh, we can. We cannot come down. God has been so good to us. We cannot come down. I'm on the battlefield with my Lord because I cannot come down. He's been so good to me, I cannot come down. Oh, hallelujah. When we think about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We cannot come down. When we know that the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want no other. We cannot come down. We cannot come down when we know that the Lord is coming back for us. And we cannot come down when we have a commission, when we have been commanded to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We cannot come down. What will happen when we are doing a great work with the Lord? We will find opposition in our way. Satan will be in your way, and he will be in my way when we are doing God's work. Satan is knocking at your door. First, Jesus was knocking at your door. You who are saved, you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus was knocking at your door, and you let Jesus in, and he came in. And now Jesus is sitting where Satan used to sit. But now Satan is knocking again. You don't answer your door. You let Jesus answer your door. He's the one to answer your door. Not you. I remember when I was younger and how we used to play and push each other, and then somebody would push somebody too hard, and what would happen is that, you know, you get into the kid fight and everything. I would run upstairs. I run upstairs and I lock the door. And they come knocking on my door. I look at my big brother, I say, you get it. When he goes to the door, they look at him, they turn around and go. That's the same way it is with Jesus. When you let Jesus answer your door, Satan will turn around and he will flee. Oh yes, he will. Satan wants you to forget about the work of the Lord. He wants you to live on the life and the level of drugs, the level of frustration, jealousy, confusion, depression. He wants you to live on the level of self-pride, fornication, adultery. He wants you to live on the level of hate, having and accepting a broken family. He wants you to live so bad. He wants you to be so miserable that you cannot work for God. And all the time, Jesus is saying that if you've been in this, you are forgiven. Just come on back and work for me. Satan wants you to stay in that type of lifestyle. We will also find opposition in our way from our so-called friends. People who say, I'm your friend. And at the same time, backstab you. Say, I'm your friend. You can depend on me. I'm your friend. Same time, while you're trying to build up over here, they're cutting you down over there. Bible says that they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then there are our enemies. Nehemiah had his enemies, see in chapter 6 and verse 1. But I'd rather stand and see my enemies and try to make some kind of reconciliation than rather be with my so-called friends. I know who my enemies are, but my so-called friends, I don't know who they are. That's why we have to be very careful and prayerful of who we're going to walk with and talk with, who we're going to share things with. Got to be careful. Nobody should know more about you than yourself. Not even your pastor should know more about you than you know about yourself. But when you're doing a great work for the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you and He will give you strength. He will give you strength to move on. He will give you strength to run and run with patience. He'll give you strength to meet your goal. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, He'll give you the strength to go on. And then He'll give you the encouragement. He'll share with you that He has all power in His hands. He'll give you the encouragement. And then He'll give you faith. Faith to go on. The same faith that He gave to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He'll give you the same faith. He'll give you that faith that day you had in the lion's den. Hallelujah. He'll give you that faith that will take you across the sea of troubles, just like Moses. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the encouragement, and He'll give you the faith, and then He'll give you the victory. Paul says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. As I come down near the end, Nehemiah, we look at him, a layman. I saw a person this morning from this church witnessing to somebody that was laying on the ground. A layman. Not a priest, not a preacher, not a prophet. A layman doing this work. You know what it is to build. You built the nursing home. You know what it is to build and rebuild. You rebuilt the church. You know what it is to build. Nehemiah knew what it was to build. Yes, he did. And he would not come down until the work was finished. He would not come down until the work was finished. Nehemiah would not come down because he knew about the value of the law and the protection of the walls of salvation, of separation. Nehemiah was determined to stay up working until the work was finished. They told him to come down, but he told them, I could not and I would not and I am not coming down. Therefore, he put his life on the line. But there is another one who was asked to come down. That one would not come down either. This is the one who gave up his life for you and for me. His name is Jesus. Jesus would not come down. The people laughed at him, but he would not come down. The people derided him being on the cross, but he would not come down. The people made fun of him. They cursed at him, but he would not come down because he already said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Built a great wall, which was a great work, but Jesus is still building. I'm so glad that Jesus is building a great friendship, victory. Jesus is still building. I'm so glad that Jesus is still building. If you, hallelujah, if you know that he's still building, can you clap your hands and say amen? He's still building today. He's still building because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He's the first and the last. He's the bright and morning star. He's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is, hallelujah. He is. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Jesus is still building. 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 Oh, yes, he is. He's building. Oh, he's building. You who are not saved today, Jesus is building. You need to come to the Lord. You need to come and come and come. Hallelujah. Because he's still building. Jesus, hallelujah. He's still building. Build with Jesus because he's still building. Nehemiah built the great wall, but Jesus is still making a way of salvation. Come on, hallelujah. Come on to Jesus because he's still building. May God bless you and may God keep you.
We have heard a very challenging word this morning, a call to build. The preacher, and we thank him and God for this word this morning, has poured out his soul to us. And finally, we make this appeal to those of you who have not yet come up to come now as we sing hymn number 137, There is Power in the Blood. If there is some man, some woman, some boy, some girl who is now looking to hook up with the Lord, today is the day of salvation, the day that you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Draw nigh unto God as he shall draw nigh even unto thee. Our officers will be standing around in various places in the sanctuary. And if you would like to come and be a part of this fellowship, and more importantly, a part of the Lord's work in building up lives and building up this community, will you come?